Welcome to the Nehemiah Entrepreneurship Community Podcast. I'm your host, Patrice Tagge. I'm here again with Brian Bueller. Some of you guys remember Brian has been on the podcast before. We talked about Lebanon when he was here before. Brian is a Kingdom Business Coach. He's also a professional service Christian. Did I say it right? With ideas?
A Christian professional with ideas.
And Brian has worked in several countries, including India, Lebanon, and then also Africa. Which country in Africa were you in, Brian?
Well, I only visited Africa.
Okay, I thought there's something there as well. And so I'd say
working virtually as I'm helping training a group in Kenya. So
that's right. And so currently, Brian is our home office coach with Nehemiah Project. And he's providing business training and coaching with the group out of Kenya. He also runs our self-study program. So if you take enroll in our self-study classes, he's your coach. He's the one that works with you. And he's teaching Identity and Destiny, as well as you also have a BE certificate class coming up, correct?
Yes. Well, okay. I'm doing BE Executive Certificate and Independent Study as well.
Wow, you're a busy man. All right. And Brian not only has an MBA, but he has incredible experience in business consulting and business operation with things he's done in India and different parts of the world. Well, Brian, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
So, Brian, I wanted you back because I didn't want to talk about job creation in developing economies. We kind of doing this series on the importance of job creation with an emphasis on our 100K job in 9 years now. And so as a Christian professional, one of the things that you've emphasized on is the marketplace. As you work in other parts of the world, one of your emphasis has been about either creating businesses or working with people that have businesses that you want to help them. And I'm assuming that the end result of that is that jobs will be created in those countries. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. So Brian, with that in mind, first of all, let's go back a little bit. You know, a Christian professional like yourself, one would think, you know, particularly now in the COVID-19 environment, that we need what you're doing in the United States, right? That there are communities in the U.S. that has job creation issues. Mm-hmm. So why the emphasis in India, Africa, Lebanon, and up out of the world versus right here in our own backyard?
Well, I've always figured that anyone can do it here. And I'm willing to go, willing and able, and I had an interest. I felt led to go, and others, our church encouraged us to go. I figured, well, almost anyone could. Why build on another man's work? I think, as Paul says. So let's go somewhere where they may not have many people to help emphasize that.
Wow, I love that. That's an important point. So Brian, so from what you just said, it sounds like what you're also saying is that not many Americans are willing to take the risk that you have in going in another country and literally being a resident there. And being a professional there for the purpose of helping the local economy. Is that a true statement?
Yeah, most people won't do that.
Yeah.
In fact, at one point I applied looking for ways to, you know, connect into India. I applied for a job at UPS in India, and they asked me, why do you want to come here?
Wow. That is incredible. Awesome. So, Brian, so for our audience, why is business development and job creation such a critical need in these countries? Why is it so important that you would take all the risk for?
Well, you know, if you don't have a job, you don't have income. If you don't have income, you can't feed yourself or your family. I mean, it's number one priority for someone. You know, if you're of age, you got to go out and work. Yeah. If you don't work, literally, you don't eat. And so you need to have jobs, and we need entrepreneurs to create jobs in order to do that.
Wow. Yeah, it is. I love that. If a man does not work, he does not eat. The Apostle Paul stated that. And that's such an important scripture. So Brian, so in terms of job, now, as you know, we have this 100,000 job in about 10 years. So obviously, you think it's important, do you believe in it? But from your vantage point though, these kind of strategies, what kind of impact do you realistically think it has in the whole discourse, whether in these countries or even in the United States itself, and emphasis on job creation?
Well, I mean, I like the 100K in 9 years, oh, it's 10 years, but 9 years now. I like that because it's a great outcome measurement to let us know. It says the more entrepreneurs we train, the more people that business that you set up, the more jobs that can be created. And so it's a great outcome of that, because the whole goal is to not only is the company to develop and create wealth, but also to help, as if they're a kingdom business, is to help all the shareholders, all the stakeholders, including your employees and community. And so there's more value than just starting a business and making a profit. The value is in how do we impact the entire community? And so that's where there's that's why when Nehemiah says we want to do 100,000 jobs in 10 years and to fulfill our mission to build kingdom businesses globally, that's what that means. That's why it's so important. It's not just that we want to go out and start businesses and create jobs. There's a whole reason behind that, because we need to have an impact globally on communities and people and change lives.
Wow. I love it. So, Brian, some may wonder, may say the conditions in some of these countries makes it impossible to start a sustainable job. You're kind of wasting your time. What would you say to that?
Well, sometimes it feels like that. But fortunately, life is a process. There's a whole journey involved in it. And you look at, depends on what stage is the country, the community, the people that you're working with, what stage are they at? Are they at, do they need relief? Do they need rehab and recovery? Or do they need development? And it's important to understand that first. That's why ideas has such a good success strategy, because you go in for 1, 2, 3 years, just, you know, learning language, learning culture, what's going on, what is the need? You assess all that before you establish any kind of project or anything. And it's important because you have to know what stage are they at. And let me reference the book, When Helping Hurts. When Helping Hurts, How to Alleviate Poverty Without Hurting the Poor and Yourself, by Steve Colbert and Brian Pickert. So pick that up, take a look at that, because that'll help us even here when we're dealing with this. It's important to know what stage you're at. But yes, to answer your question, it some places you have to start from square one and find out, you know, is there a place that I can do development? If there is, then we can maybe start business. Or in that relief or rehab recovery, maybe a business starting with some outside help can help influence and can help with those stages as well.
Wow. It sounds, Brian, like the way you're talking about this, that you kind of understand some of the conditions that must be on the ground for job creation to take place. So when you're thinking through a city, a country around the world that you think is optimal, ideal for job creation or business development, what are some things you look for? What are some of the indicators that you look for as a sign, so that our listeners and viewers can also get a gauge as to how they will look for those things in their city?
Well, you don't always have the benefit of everything that you need in order to create jobs. You know, ideally, you would want a stable government, a stable country, a growing economy, low barriers to entry, such as how much does it cost to start a business? What hoops do you have to jump through in order to register your business? What are restrictions on who you can employ and how you can employ? What is the tax regulations? Are you overtaxed? What are the property prices? The other big thing is, will the government protect your property? So when you're doing the kind of work that we do, you don't always have the ability or the option to go in where it's ideal. And so you kind of work with it in maybe less than ideal circumstances to see if you can have an impact to kind of bring things to that point. And again, it comes back to what stage is the area that you're working in? You know, are they in relief? If they're in relief, then there's nothing they can do. They're on the floor bleeding and they need help. And so you have to 100% go in and help them through that. Now, once the crisis is over, then you have rehab and recovery. Then you start working together with them so that, you know, they're going to the next level. You help restore people and their communities. And then that becomes a point where you can start doing vocational training, other kinds of things to help get them to that point. And then finally, when you get to development, that's an ongoing process where people in communities, they work together to improve lives. And in doing that, those that are coming from outside work their way out of it so that they can be self-sustaining and that we're not staying in and causing being enablers in the wrong sense.
I just love what you just laid out. I'm not sure if our viewers or guests caught it. You kind of walked us through different models to consider as one is considering respond to this call. Walk through that again, but do it slowly and kind of tell us a bit about if I was want to be involved, what would my next step be? But so give me the options.
Well, again, you have, there's three stages. Let me define them. Relief is giving immediate temporary aid after a crisis. So like in Beirut, we had the explosion, 300,000 people misplaced, about 6,000 or 7,000 injured, and almost 200 people were killed. That was an immediate disaster relief. You don't go up and say, well, let's help you develop something and we'll help you start a business. And no, they need funding. They need triage care. They need a place to live. You know, that's a relief situation. To help in that, you know, finances help. Medical experts, engineers. I have a friend who's an engineer. He's going around doing assessments to homes and things. That's how you deal with in a relief level. Then you have next level rehabilitation recovery is a recovery process to restore people and their communities. Now you get to the point where it's been over a month now, and we're working on ways now that a lot of that funding has come in, the initial care for their health and some of the places have been found temporary places to stay. Now people are going in and some of my partners are going in and helping rebuild. We need new windows. All the windows are broken. The engineers are going in to see if the structure level is safe or do we need to shore that up? So that's part of the recovery process. Mm-hmm. After they're recovered, they're stable in that. Obviously, the next step is development. Ongoing process, which people, communities work to improve their lives. And so you work together, finding out what are their needs? Can I bring in professionals to help with this? Can we help set up businesses? Can an outside business help? But most importantly, you want to get it to a point where they will be self-sustaining. We do not want to create dependency.
Wow.
And the problem is many organizations, a lot of Christian organizations or churches have not thought through some of this, and they go in and they do relief all the time when it really should be development. Or maybe they're doing rehabilitation and recovery when it really should be relief. So they really need to research what they're doing. Otherwise, you're going to end up hurting not only those that you're trying to help, but also yourselves.
So in a sense, what you're saying is not just good for me to be well-intentioned or for me to have solutions, but I need to understand the dynamic, the lay of the land, so that my helping can be strategic and moves the dial versus enabling and bring harm to myself.
Exactly, yes.
Wow. So you seem to also kind of give some great characteristics as to how I would know as a layperson whether or not to invest in that personal business. And I hate to do this to you again, because I want to bring out some key elements, but it's not you're saying, okay, number one, somebody might be in a relief scenario, right? They need, you know, in other words, I can't do anything long-term because I need help now. knowing that quickly allows you to know what to recommend and or what not to recommend, and maybe to find saying to them, hey, you know, whatever we have is not for you because you actually need this. Am I right?
Yes.
And that's hard to do because it's hard to see somebody in need and not respond because you don't think that what you have, though, will fill them. It won't make them less hungry. So do you have scenario where individuals get stuck because they're trying to do what they shouldn't be doing at that point, or where they're either trying to do one stage versus another at a particular stage?
Yeah, absolutely. People get stuck, they'll get dependent. I mean, we even saw this, and if I can say this carefully, with the relief that we got in the U.S., there was additional amount and people didn't want to go back to work because they had more money.
Wow.
And so that created a moral hazard. And so we have to be careful not to create moral hazards in people's lives so that they can be self-sustaining.
Wow, that is true. So well-intentioned, but my action can actually lead to dependency, which then makes it harder for this person to be self-incentivized to get a job or start a business.
Exactly, yeah.
Is there an approach that you employ that's best or ideal that you found to work to discern this?
Really, the best approach, especially going into a foreign country, is partner with somebody on the ground. Partner with local organizations. Mm-hmm. And we do this with Ideas. You know, we go in, we vet organizations on the ground. They know the culture. They're indigenous. And they're the one that we ask them, what is your need? And they're usually pretty good at knowing, you know, are we at a relief situation, a recovery or development situation? And so rely on the people on the ground, make sure they're trusted people, spend time building that relationship. But that is the way to do it. If you come in out of the blue and you've seen a report on TV saying they need shoes in Africa, and you know that you've seen the video that the report about, you know, a company went in, gave a whole bunch of shoes. But what they did was they just put local business people out of business.
Wow.
Wow. And that's
true. Because if you're bringing in something on the outside, better quality, maybe cheaper, you undermine the local market, the local economy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
wow.
If they would have gone in and asked maybe a local church, local organization, what do you need? Can we provide shoes? Well, what if you provided shoes to a group of people that we're going to set up and train as entrepreneurs, and we want to help them, and then they can sell those?
Mm.
That would make a better approach. And they don't have to sell it for a whole lot, but that would help to make it more sustainable.
Why don't you, this makes so much sense. Why don't you people consider it?
Well, why don't who consider that?
I mean, it makes some, it's logical. Why don't you think more people consider that option?
I think education, meaning that they haven't thought through it. And I think that's part of our job is to educate people on this is the impact. Here's the long-term impacts of that. And that's why I, again, recommend that book, When Helping Hurts. This is part of education. In fact, let me shout out to Pastor Hankey at Salem First Baptist. He has taken the entire congregation through this book and the whole situation, because in Salem, they are a church in the middle of the city. And at one point they had an option, as any church does, to move. The homeless problem is coming up, other issues, you know, do we need to move and grow? But they chose to be a church for the city and take on the issues around them because that is their calling. How can we impact the city? And so they ask experts and people on the ground, how can we approach the homeless problem? How can we approach any policing issues? They've even set up a partnership with the police so that, you know, there's they have part of the church open 24/7 where they can come in and take a break, relax, and then get back out. Really great partnership, and they are working with the community. And I'm just really impressed with that. And Part of that, again, you know, the book I just described, and Helping Hurts, was one of those tools that they used to educate their congregation on how to do that.
Wow, that is incredibly awesome. One Helping Hurt group resource to get. So let's talk a bit about, do you have an example, Brian, or a story where a job made a difference in somebody's life?
Oh, let me kind of give you an overall story. In India, we started out a business, and the challenges were, you know, interviewing, learning how to hire, all these kinds of things in a culture different than our own. So we would hire on a couple levels, those with university education, and then later we started a data entry, so it didn't need as much education. So we had different levels to hire on. But typically, everyone that came in, they had the same things in common. They're usually single, usually living at home or with a group, and they had to take a bus to work. So after time having a job, the first thing they get was a motorcycle, and we'd always go out and celebrate. They get the motorcycle, okay. And then next, they probably get an apartment or move out from mom and dad. And then the ultimate accomplishment is when they would get married, because they got to a point where in life I can sustain myself and my family. And that was just, it's exciting to see that, you know, one after another go through that cycle. And that is a huge impact. But what is different about, any business can do that, but what can a kingdom business do that's different? And one of those things is the way that you approach and you treat your staff, your team. One of the young ladies that we hired, she was very central to our work. She's one of the programmers and kind of kept everything together, kept all the boys in line. And at one point I noticed that she was feeling down. Something didn't look right. And I approached her, I said, "What's going on?" I says, "Well, I have a family issue that I need to deal with." And it had to do with her family wanted her to marry someone else, but she fell in love with somebody else. And so I realized, okay, I can't get involved in that, but I could give her the time off. And I said, "This is an important issue for you. And I value you, and you're valuable to this company. And I want you to take, and I had to be careful I said it, but as much time as you need, get this resolved, because we need you back here, but I want you to deal with it with your family." She was overjoyed. She went out. She was gone for about a week. Came back, huge smiles, very happy. Her family said yes, that she could marry this man. And that's just one of the stories on that. But that made a difference, because we value our employees. They are created in the image of God, and we need to treat them as such. And by doing that, you can have two identical companies as far as their abilities and on paper look the same. But if you have a transformational culture inside of a kingdom business, you just don't know how much better people can work when they have a transformational culture.
Wow, that is incredibly awesome. So people are hearing you, that's hearing you talk about transformational culture. What does that mean for you? What does that give a sense of what that looks like from your context, so that our audience can kind of put a hand around it?
Transformational culture. I mean, if you look at like three basic styles, you know, you have kind of a top down.
Top down management process.
Yeah, the top down management process. Yeah. You have that approach. You have maybe a servant leadership model.
Yeah,
and then you also have the relational model.
Yep.
And I like to look at there's value in all of those, and I like to look at especially how we teach that. Let's put all three together.
Yep.
When you put all three of those together, you're going to see transformation, and it starts with the servant leadership culture. Serving as Jesus served, serving others, and leading by example, but also the relationship part. Now, the top down also gives a structure. That's how we get things done, because the other ones sometimes will get a little distracted. But you have to have that whole thing. Putting that together with relationship, servant leadership is not enough. Having that relationship really starts to transform people's lives. And the way we can do it with kingdom business is because we can speak truth into their life and we can live that example and we have the king behind us.
Wow, that is awesome. What a great, I love you taking that exercise that we do in BE to kind of bring this to, because you're absolutely right. Because part of the trend, it's about people, ultimately, isn't it? It's about impact on people. By the way, if you're listening and watching, I'm talking to Brian Brewer, and we're talking about the value of job creation in developing countries. Brian has served in India, in Lebanon. He's now as home office coach with Nima, home office trainer with Nima Project, runs the B certificate courses on self-study. He also runs a class right now with Kenya. And he got a couple of classes coming as well. If you want to be a part of any of the classes that Brian is doing with Nehemiah Project, go to nehemiahecommunity.com, nehemiahecommunity.com. There you can go to upcoming events. You can see what program's coming up, or go to find a class. And you can check out the various classes coming up, whether Identity Destiny, whether it's a BE course, BE Executive, or whatever the case may be. Brian, I think the graduation coming up, that's when I'm busy. Do you have a graduation coming up?
Yeah, on October 16th.
October 16th. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it's coming up fast. I have secured a speaker for that, Dr. Eric Straw from Corbin University. So he'll be sharing some words of encouragement to our graduates while the judges deliberate. The other neat thing about the graduation is it's not just you finished up a pitch deck and your business plan and here you go. You have to present it. You got 10 minutes to present your pitch, your business plan to a panel of judges, and then you have another 10 minutes to answer questions. And then when you're done, then you have, it's judgment time. That you determine, you know, who's the winner. And then the winner from that gets to go on to regional, national, international competition.
So how many graduates are you going to have that day?
We should have six.
Six graduates. So put that in the graduation. It's free, right? Anybody can attend. Yeah. So put that link there, team, the BE certificate graduation for those who want. So this is the first group that who the winner will be considered for the U.S. Winner for the that goes on to regional. Is that kind of how it is? Wow, that is awesome. So which means that this person, whoever wins, is going to be competing with other people eventually within the U.S. So we can expect a national U.S. competition next year. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, wow. This is awesome. Hey, these graduation and competition are a great opportunity for you to see, kind of hear different models of kingdom business. So if you want to kind of just glean and learn and also be inspired by other entrepreneur stories, these are job creators. You want to be a part of that. Also, if you want to kind of consider strengthening your own idea, because, you know, entrepreneurship is one of those things that entrepreneurs evolve best in an ecosystem. So you can kind of be introduced, learn more about Nehemiah Project, and learn about this ecosystem that allows you to thrive in. So Brian, somebody's listening, watching, and they're saying, you know what, I want to be part of that class. So why should they consider joining you in your next class, and who's ideal for those classes?
You absolutely should consider it. The ideal person, this is why, because the ideal person is someone who is thinking about business. You want to do business, but you're not sure. You've tried to create a business plan and you failed, or you're just not motivated. You have a business and you want to say, I want to have a kingdom business. I want a business that is God's business. Those are ideal.
Wow. Wow. So if you want to build a transformational company, as Brent talked about earlier, you want to be a part of that. And so the size doesn't matter, right? No matter what the size is.
Of the class or?
Of the business. It doesn't matter the size of the company.
Yeah, the business size doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. So Brian, you've worked with businesses from a few regions of the world. So what have you found to be different or unique as you've looked at India, Lebanon, and now Kenya, or even the US? So is there any uniqueness from each of those countries?
Well, cultural uniqueness, besides the language, is always a big issue. I mean, India has a cultural thing that is kind of plaguing them still, is the caste system. There's still a big issue for a lot of people. And actually, 250 million untouchable Dalits would agree. And there's also intense competition. You know, we have competition here, but it's nothing like I've seen there, especially in the schools. You know, you have, is it 1.2 billion people now in India? And they are competing for finite resources of schools that are available in universities. And you see a high suicide rate in them when they, you know, even a 98% score on their education, but there's so many others that have 99 and above, and it's not enough. And it's sad and surprising, but there's a lot of suicide there. Also, that competition's carried over into the workplace, because there are so many people, they're competing for positions in their job and things. And so the result of that is they hold information. They won't share it.
Wow.
And I understand why, but we had to really work through it to help them understand, in this business, this is a safe space, and our culture is you share your information. So that took a while to learn, and they came to appreciate that. But that was a big challenge. And so that was just India. Lebanon has its own set of issues as far as businesses. A lot of people, I talked to a lawyer there, and we were trying to figure out different ways to set up a business. The lawyer says he sees so many people come in, they take out loans to start a business, but they don't have a good plan, and it fails as soon as the money runs out. And so there's a culture of high indebtedness, I think, in Lebanon, as well as the infrastructure. Electricity goes out regularly. It does in India as well, but they have generators in Lebanon, a lot more of them, and then they have a whole mafia controlling the generators, so that costs a lot. And then you have the issue of stability. That's the challenge in Lebanon as well. So yeah, there's a lot of differences that you have to face in each one. The U.S. is, how is it different in the U.S.? I think it's pretty easy to start a job or business in the U.S. You can go sign up online, and in less than 3 minutes, you can have a DBA and you're doing business, you know? So that's real easy.
But most of the time, yeah, you're right. Even in, no matter what the state is, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
What about, what have you figured out in Kenya? Anything unique in Kenya?
They have really good English.
They speak of Queen's English.
I was impressed. Indian speaks Queen's English too, but it's a different accent.
That's different. No, nothing compared to Kenya.
Yeah, but I was very impressed. Wow, just to see the last cohort come through and be part of the tail end of the last cohort when they're doing their competition. They were on the ball. They had everything together. Their PowerPoints and everything was brilliant. A good understanding of business. Because I haven't started business there, I don't know that any barrier entries or any other kinds of things, but I assume it's pretty diverse.
That won this year's International Business Plan Competition when it was Nina from Kenya. Mm-hmm. Pretty sharp gal, pretty sharp. Is that, you know, are some of this, I mean, you talked about the quality of the business plan last class. So is Kenya kind of a bedrock for this kind of top quality kind of thing? Are you seeing that consistent?
Well, in my limited experience, they're doing quite well. And so yeah, I am impressed. So.
For sure. And they have a great leader in Frank. Now, let's talk about conditions for job creation. We talked about a bit earlier in terms of, you kind of said some of the elements, but how important is capital to job creation?
Well, unless you can do a really lean startup, and that was one of the barriers to entry I found in Lebanon. Depending on what kind of business you start, and if you're a foreigner especially, you have to start out with a huge chunk of capital. I know that I researched Jordan as well. He had to have like $75,000 or something in order to start a business. So there's different barriers that you have. Now, nationals, I also found sometimes they can start with much less. And so coming from a foreign perspective, there are some challenges there. But nationals, many times they can start with less. But if you don't have enough capital to rent a shop and to maintain it, some businesses may not be able to start. But if you can employ whatever you can, I encourage them to do lean startup. Minimize any fixed costs. Try to do the work out of your home at first. Test it. Figure out how to do it. Find a place where you can lease very cheaply or something like that, just to reduce the amount of capital you have to put out. But sometimes you just need a chunk.
Yeah.
So capital is very important.
And today, with what's going on with COVID-19 and the global economy, it becomes even critical. And capital tend to be so expensive in a lot of these countries, which makes it even more difficult for job creation. This is why we, for the Global Kingdom Investors Network, we really try to make efforts to bring capital to bear in these countries. So, Brian, let's wrap up with looking at the future. So, as a Christian professional, you've been very faithful to what God has called you to do. What does the future look like for Brian? If Brian has his way, what kind of impact can we see in the next 10 years? You can be specific or general. If you had your way, what would you like to see?
Well, my vision merged with yours with the e-community. I've been wanting to build collaborative business communities globally in, you know, four corners of the U.S., throughout Middle East, throughout other areas, so that these collaborative communities, not only would they help the local communities and entrepreneurs develop kingdom businesses, develop jobs, develop their community, create jobs, but they would also be able to co-connect between each other location. And you found a way to do that virtually. So we have virtual e-community with a connection into the brick and mortar and the ability to connect online between all of these. And I'm excited about that because you may have some international people that want to go work in any number of these other places. They can connect online to these other communities, or they can go travel to these local brick and mortar e-communities so that they can learn directly from trusted people, learn the culture, learn the language, the lay of the land, how things work in that area. And so you develop that relationship, and it's a whole network now. So this is kind of my dream, is seeing that go, because it's going to just continue to build, and you're building into each of the community how to build more of themselves into the community.
I love it. Well, Brian, Nehemiah is your playground. You do it, my friend. You do it. I mean, you've been so faithful and so loyal. Brian, this week we've been having our retreat. You've been a part of those retreats. How has it been for you? How do you find these retreats in line with helping us carry out our mission?
Well, again, the whole foundation of relationship, you know, when we look at our kingdom business values, kingdom business coaching, relationships, values, and growth. And we have our emphasis on relationships. And the more that we're able to connect, the more that we're able to get, in a sense, educated from the top down and learn from each other, we grow in our relationship and our development and are able to move forward as one. And I think I mentioned that in today's meeting, is that we're able to enable unity in our, the direction that we're going. And without unity, we're going to be scattered. And without a plan written down, you can't run with it. If you have a plan written down and then it's communicated well, then you're able, the whole community and whole business can run.
I love it. Hey, if you want to connect with Brian, and he has classes coming up, there's a graduation even coming up that's free of charge. Brian also has a life group that he hosts each week. Brian, tell us about your life group real quick.
Yeah, I have actually have two. I have one that I co-partner with Richard Zelke. That's out of Hillsboro, but we do everything online right now. But the other one I'm really excited about is the one in Lebanon. that we, before I left, I established some good relationships. And then when COVID hit, I started connecting online and said, well, let's start a life group. It used to be that a lot of the people were kind of busy. And but when things got shut down, I found a slot that I can pop in and say, hey, let's do get a few people together. We'll do a Zoom life group. And it's been really encouraging. We have people from most of them are from Lebanon, but we have people pop in from Cyprus, Morocco, even Rwanda. And then I bring guests in from wherever. And we encourage one another. We've been through a major blast together, all different kinds of things that we're able to encourage each other as entrepreneurs and understand the value of our relationship in Christ so that we can in turn be a blessing to others. And so we can see Christ glorified in that.
Wow, that is awesome. You are a busy man, and we thank God that you're part of our team. Brian, home office trainer, also coach. So Brian, you also are available to see clients one-on-one, right? If anybody needs your coaching, that is amazing. He runs two live groups. Live groups are no cost. So if you want to be part of Brian's live group, just email him at brian@kingdombizcoaching.com. brian@kingdombizcoaching.com. You can learn about his live groups, be part of that, as well as his upcoming classes. And you can also learn about coming to his graduation coming up as he graduates 6 new biblical entrepreneurs. Brian, what's the most exciting thing that with everything you do, what do you find the most exciting in terms of what you do?
To see lives changed.
Wow.
To see them transformed, not just change in direction, but to see them understand their creator.
Wow.
To be changed for eternity. That's what's really exciting to see.
Wow. You know, since Brian is our home office trainer, I think, Brian, maybe once a month we'll have you come back. And what I'd like for you to do when you come, sometimes let's give people a little bit of the flavor of what they might experience in your classes. You know, and I may pick one particular chapter that you teach and just kind of have you kind of give folks a little bit of insights about it so that people might understand exactly what these folks experience. What I appreciate about you, from what I've heard from the folks who stay in your class, including our chairman, is your unconditional care for these entrepreneurs. You pour your life into them. You make yourself, you understand technology and finance. You have an MBA. You've built businesses. You've built business plans. So you and then because of your C personality, you're highly detailed, right? You know, and so as a result, these entrepreneurs working with you, they have somebody who's passionate, who's called, and who's also is committed to going all the way. You are an advocate. You know, it's not just, I mean, you do this for free even if you can because you're so passionate about it. You go above, beyond the call of duty. So if you're interested in biblical entrepreneurship, if you want to tune up your business, you need a coach or a live group, here's what I tell people. You know what live groups are? A good way to get free coaching if you can't afford it. If you can't afford it, right? Just join the live group and you get to meet with Brian once a week. You ask any questions that tend to be a little bit structured, but you can ask any questions and that's a good way to start. Here's the deal. There's no reason why, no matter what stage of development you are in, that you should not be getting the help you need. Because there are various options for you to access people like Brian to get the help. You can become a gold member of the e-community and use the forum and use that. You can become a diamond member, and at that level, you can use 30 minutes a month. You can access him and just get the help that you need. If you listen to your diamond member, you need coaching. He'll can schedule time to meet with you, and then we'll pay him for that because it's part of your benefits as a diamond member. So there's a resource here, Brian Bueller. Whether you are in Kenya, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in the United States, whether you're in Asia, wherever you are in the world, you have access to him. Brian, thank you so much. Brian, before we close, there are. Oh, by the way, for those of you who watched the old podcast of Brian, you know that Brian is trying to encourage individuals to provide support relief for Lebanon. Brian, tell us a bit about it, and then let's put a link up there so that people may understand how to support with what happened in Lebanon a few months ago.
Yeah, on the 4th of August, there was one of the most powerful non-nuclear blasts happened in the port of Beirut. And I think I mentioned previously that 300,000 displaced from their homes, about 6,000 or 7,000 injured, and about 200 lost their lives. So what we're doing is we're partnering with local churches, local organizations to help provide relief. So this is one of the first ones that we're talking about, relief. They need money in order to help them, because right now they can't help themselves. So you can do that by going to the GoFundMe that I think Victor can post on there, as well as through my organization Ideas, ideasworld.org/give, and then select Lebanon Relief or Relief for Lebanon. And these are trusted organizations that will get funds to national organizations on the ground that will help these people in relief from that blast.
Wow, awesome. Brian, the stage again. So the first stage is relief. What's the next stage as you're helping communities? Yeah,
relief, rehabilitation, or recovery.
A recovery.
Third is development.
Development. And mm-hmm. so they're at the relief stage. At the development stage is when you kind of investing in them to pull them to for them to be able to do for themselves. Is that correct?
Right. Right. You go three stages. The relief is mostly by outsiders. Mm-hmm. Then the next one, rehabilitation, is outsiders and local working together for disaster victims toward their own recovery. And then finally, development is mostly local people. And so if you come in and want to do development, make sure you work through the local people.
Mm, good. Oh, good tip. Good tip. Brian, we're going to have you come back, and we're going to kind of get into what Brian teaches as he's teaching biblical entrepreneurship, so that you might get a taste and a flavor when he comes back to us. Brian, there are people around the world who are going through right now. You had COVID-19. In Lebanon, you had the blast. You have economic uncertainty. In the United States, you've got an election where both sides says whoever wins is the end of America. So people are scared and nervous. You have civil unrest. What would of encouragement would you give people today, no matter where they're around the world, to persevere and to keep hope, to stay hopeful?
Let me just give, I have several, but I'll just give the one. Let's give Jesus's brand promise in John 10:10. You know this one. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But here's his promise. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is his brand promise to us, that he's come to give us life and give it abundantly. And there are times when we're going to be without. And he is there. He has he understands that. I mean, you look at the life of Job and other people have gone through that. But then there's a time of abundance. And he holds... he holds the righteous man, and in fact, Psalms 92:12 says, the righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So another promise about Lebanon. So hold to your values regardless, and you'll see blessing.
I love that. Hold to your values regardless. You know, when you squeeze a fruit, you know what kind of fruit it is by the kind of juice that comes out of it. If you were to squeeze an orange and you get lemon, you'll be very concerned because you expect something sweet and something tasteful. But if you get lemon, it may be tasteful, but it's what you're looking for, but it's not sweet. So here's the question. When life squeezes you, what comes out of you? And that's what Brian is saying. Let it be the flavor of Jesus, because he's coming that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Again, Brian, thank you so much. To reach out to Brian, let's put his email address again up, or you can go to nehemiahecommunity.com. There you can learn about the classes that he has going on. You can email him at brian@kingdombizcoaching.com, brian@kingdombizcoaching.com. Brian, greet your wife for us. Again, thank you so much. Now, listen, don't you leave yet, guys, because I do want to pray for you. But before I do, I have a few information to share with you. If you enjoy this podcast, share it. You may know other individuals who are called to be Christian professionals like Brian, who may have a heart to serve outside the United States, who may want to do something untraditional. They've not had the courage to pursue it. Maybe you found in Brian a model, a prototype, somebody who's walking it out, who's living his life empowering other people, doing it in a very untraditional way, who's not doing ministry as usual, who is committed using his MBA to serve other people, not just through relief, but through development. Share this podcast, share it on your Facebook, share it on your LinkedIn, share it on your social media platform so you might encourage them. Send them as a direct message so that they might be encouraged and inspired by Brian's message. Maybe they just learn from here about the importance of job creation in other countries or even those stages that Brian shared with us, and be mindful of those stages as they do what God has called them to do. Well, also, if you want to connect with Brian directly, you can go ahead and email him at his email address, or you can go to nehemiahekman.com and there just reach out to us. We'll make sure we connect you with him. He has classes going on. So if you want to know more about the Nehemiah Project or the classes or the coaching program that we have, go to nehemiahekman.com. And there you'll learn about our training program, whether it's what Brian has coming up or other classes. You learn about how we can come alongside you and train you to enhance your existing business or build a new one. Or you can learn about our coaching program. You can learn about the Business Success Accelerator, group coaching where you work with other peers in business, or the customized coaching one-on-one. If you're a large business, the elite coaching. You can also learn about our access to capital, where you can learn about how to access capital so that you might grow your business to create more jobs. Also, you can learn about how to become a part of our community so that together we can transform the world. We delight to partner with you to make a difference in your city, in your community, wherever you are around the world. With that said, let me pray for you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord enable you to steward those talents that are under your care, and to steward them in such a way that you might hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. God will not make you ruler over much." God bless you. Thank you so much. Thanks for watching. Thanks again, Brian.
Thanks.